So the AFC North. So I mean, I think it's wide open, and I think that's the way. I think the way you have to approach it right now.
No, it's definitely wide open, Baldy. A lot of parity. Who will the Patriots be after life after Rob Gronkowski, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Saints? What are they going to do? What about the Rams with the Super Bowl hangover? But I want to focus on the 49ers for a second, Baldy. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's back after being hurt in Week 3 last season. Coleman and Breida's his running backs. We'll see who flourishes at the wide receiver position. But I'm looking at this Tampa Bay offensive line, and I'm saying, okay, there's meat on the bones there for this defensive line of the 49ers. Let's see what Bosa's about. Let's see what D Ford is about. I'm expecting this defensive line to dominate on Sunday and make the game easy for guys like Garoppolo and this young offense, especially on the outside with the wide receivers, Baldy. I'm looking at this defensive line, and if they're the best in the league, or one of the best in the league, as everybody's hyping them up to be, then let's see it on Sunday.
No, I agree. I mean, nobody has invested more resources, draft capital, money in their defensive line than the 49ers. I mean, I saw the Cleveland Browns go to Tampa 2 weeks ago in the third preseason game, and, I mean, Jameis Winston was just trying to throw the ball into the nickel seats just to get rid of it. They sacked him 5 times in the first half. They chased him and harassed him another 5 times. And he was eating grass, you know, before the halftime whistle blew. And that same offense line is probably going to start, you know, this Sunday afternoon in Tampa for your 49ers. I mean, they've watched the same film, and they better be, you know, getting hungry because it's there. You're right. I mean, it is there to be taken. Tampa's got, you know, they've got some weapons, but if they can't block for Jameis Winston up front, he's not going to run away from many people. I mean, I think you've got a guy back there that they should get the season started off on a good note. I would think they'd get after him pretty good on Sunday.
Brian Baldinger joining Matt Steinmetz, Dow the Guru Johnson, and Bonte Hill. Let me ask you about George Kittle. He was the leading receiver for the 49ers last year at the tight end position. Do you think it's a fundamental problem at all, or can be, if your tight end leads your team in receiving yardage? Is it fine for that to be the strength of your receiving core?
No, it's fine. I mean, you know, Zach Ertz led the Eagles in receptions. He set a team record with number of catches last year. They're a playoff team. What can't happen, though, Steine, is that you can't have George Kittle, you know, catching, I don't know, 88 passes and 1,400 yards. You can't have that and then have this huge drop-off to your next receiver. I mean, that's got to be right. Balanced this year. I think that's where things might happen. I mean, George Kittle could still have a Pro Bowl year and not catch 88 passes and all the yards. The yards are a function of the play-action passes and the offense, what Kyle could do, and George's talent. I mean, the guy can flat-out run, and he's explosive. So, you know, you put the ball in the right position, let him run after the catch, he's going to get a lot of extra yards. But they need these receivers to step up. They need them to stay on the field. They've got a lot of speed out there in Pettis and Goodwin. We got to see what Hurd and Samuel do, if they're going to be active, what role they have to start the season. But they're going to put their two fast guys out there in Pettis and Goodwin. And we'll see if they can stay healthy and if they can step up this year.
Baldy, I watched Hard Knocks, and, you know, I was telling the fellas I'm not ready to put a number on the Raider win total, but you know, I don't know if it was for the cameras, but that I really felt like they were a group and they were playing for one another, and you can't judge anything on the preseason games, so I won't. But I want to ask you your expectation of the Oakland Raiders heading into 2019.
Well, I think they're a much improved football team. I mean, they've added a lot of talent, but, you know, talent doesn't win games for you. The team does. And so, you know, can they take care of the football? Derek Carr did the second half of the season last year. Let's just see if Josh Jacobs can give them the thumper that they thought they had with, you know, Marshawn Lynch when they first signed him, when Gruden first got there. I mean, that's going to be the basis of this team. Can they run the football? Because I think if they can run it, and Josh Jacobs is worthy of being the first back taken, then I think you've got a foundation to what John Gruden really wants to do. They've had a lot of pieces up front, starting with Trent Brown. I think he's the biggest human I've ever seen in a football uniform. That doesn't mean he's going to be a great player. You saw him in San Francisco, but he is massive. If they can run the ball, that would be a big start to everything else that they want to do. I think defensively, they're going to be okay. They got a lot of young players, a lot of new players. Sometimes that doesn't come together right away. But I think whatever flaws they have can usually be masked if you run the ball really, really well. I'm anxious to see Jacobs run it. Haven't seen him run it yet. We haven't. I want to see just what kind of back he is. He wasn't the starter at Alabama. He didn't carry it a lot. That could be a good thing sometimes. You know, the fact that you haven't had a lot of tread off the tire. But I want to see what he looks like, you know, on Sunday with the Raiders and see if he can get you 100 yards and if they're moving the line of scrimmage. That's where it's all going to start.
Yeah, I'm high on Josh Jacobs, Baldy. I believe he's going to win Rookie of the Year in the AFC, Offensive Rookie of the Year. I just remember that run he had against Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl where he went through a guy at the goal line when he could have walked in, but instead he wanted to go through somebody. I said, okay, this kid is tough. But looking at the NFL in general, we kick off Thursday night at Soldier Field. Bears surprising everybody last year when they made the Khalil Mack trade. They win the division. They lose that tough playoff game to the Eagles, of course, with Cody Parkey missing a kick. But I'm looking at this defense now under Chuck Pagano as Vic Fangio has moved on. And this offense of the Green Bay Packers with Matt LaFleur, how will Aaron Rodgers look? What are you expecting Thursday night between the Bears and Packers?
Well, I mean, nope. I'm actually watching the Bears defense right now. They asked me about it. You know, they're still going to be a base 3-4 defense. It's primarily the same cast of characters that led the league in takeaways and defense last year with the Chicago Bears. We haven't seen one starter for the Bears defense all summer. We haven't seen a starter for the Packers offense all year. So there's a whole lot of unknown right now. And usually when that happens, you probably don't get great football. You know, I think that, you know, the whole league, we're going to see teams struggle out of the box here this year. I think this September is going to look like what August used to be. It's going to look a lot like preseason games, what we think of them. I think we're going to see mistakes and penalties and probably not going to see great execution yet. None of these coaches can convince me that scrimmages and practices assimilate game conditions, especially regular season games. So then it comes down to taking care of the football and who makes the fewer mistakes. I mean, I'm looking at the Packers right now. They're going to have Tim Boyle from Eastern Kentucky, who's never thrown a pass in the league, as the backup to Aaron Rodgers. But that's not alone. That isn't that big of a deal. It's a league-wide trend, is that teams are putting backups behind their starters that have never thrown a pass. It's happening in New England. It's happening in Carolina. It's happening in Jacksonville. It's kind of a league-wide thing that they're going to go with completely inexperienced quarterbacks in a league where we all kind of know that you better get your backup ready because he's probably going to have to play unless it's Brady or Breeze or Rivers right now.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much for joining us as always, and look forward to doing it every week.
My pleasure, guys. I can't wait to next week. Talking about real football next week, guys.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
Doubt,
that's
Have
Brian,
a good weekend.
Brian Baldinger. He's a Radio.com Sports NFL insider, and he's brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. By the way, the 49ers, like every other team in the NFL, cut their roster down to 53. Anything surprise you guys at all? They're keeping three quarterbacks. There was concern about who the backup was going to be. Kyle Shanahan said, relax. It's Nick Mullins, Guru's favorite. Jeff Wilson didn't make the team. Anything else stick out to you, or is there anything else there you want to say about the final?
I don't know if you consider this a surprise, Bonte, but when we heard that, you know, Matthews was coming to town, he had some, you know, 15 minutes in Philadelphia. This is not, to me, the Niners' strong point. The receiving core is a big issue, and you got a quarterback trying to prove himself. So for him to basically, Jordan Matt, to not even make the squad, that's another miss. And, people say, oh, it didn't cost you much. But, damn, I was hoping the guy that had experience could come show these youngsters, you know, what to do, when to do it. And you don't got to be Jerry Rice to do that, but just – I guess I'm saying another failed experiment for the Niners reaching into the talent pool of quote-unquote proven players that doesn't pan out. And I guess I don't know what the season's going to manifest in, but it's getting kind of old, and I thought he could at least – if you can't make this roster on this receiving core, what roster can you make, B?
Yeah, I don't know. Kendrick Bourne had an up-and-down preseason, and he makes the roster – Mildly surprised. Yeah. Mildly surprised.
But
about
on a good day, he'd make you a catch.
I think the biggest thing that surprised me is, first of all, they only kept three safeties on a roster. three safeties. You have Jaquaski Tartt, Tarvarius Moore, who's raw at that position, and you have Jimmy Ward. I don't feel strong about that position group. I haven't all offseason.
No, you have.
Haven't in training camp, and I definitely don't feel good about it now when I see O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate on the other side. Good luck to Tartt and Tarvarius Moore, who's raw at that position. But it's keeping four tight ends and then, of course, the three quarterbacks. We knew Shanahan, his love affair with C.J. Beathard. He loves C.J. Beathard. He traded up to go get him out of Iowa in the third round. I just don't get why you keep it three quarterbacks on this roster when you have other position needs. Maybe another running back, Jeff Wilson Jr., who's on the P-squad right now.
And you don't have a guy like him.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman can be that between the tackles guy. He can be that guy.
Who the hell is Jeff Wilson, and why do you care about him so much?
Dude, have you watched him run the ball?
In preseason,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, and a lot of other people have. Stoney, you don't got Tony Dorsett on your team is all that I'm saying.
And he's Tony Dorsett?
You could have found a spot.
Why?
Because
he's not good enough. I mean, like, why are we worried about Jeff Wilson
getting
put on the practice squad?
I apologize. I know DJ Reed and Exum play safety as well. They're versatile. But if they're playing safety for this football team, that's not good news for this defense. So before you come down my road, text line, I know they can play safety, but I'm looking at guys who could really play safety. Those guys are playing safety in case of emergency. Break glass. You know what I mean? If Jimmy Ward gets hurt or whatnot. Really, the safety position, I think, is a weak spot on this defense.
And I think the Niners brought Jordan Matthews in as just a guy to see if he could make the team, and he didn't do enough to make the team. And maybe that says something about where their young receivers are. But you know, we're going to find that out very, very shortly. 888-957-9570 is the number. Give me something you're looking forward to for the San Francisco 49ers. Let's go to Louie in San Francisco. Hey, Louie. Louie, what's going on?
Larry?
Keep.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, man? Louie.
Are you talking?
Hey, put them on hold. Come on. It's Tuesday. Kickoff is 2 days from now. People got to be ready to go, man. I'm too hyped right now to have that going on, Steiny and Goo. Come on.
Let's go to Danker. Danker's in San Francisco. What's up, man?
What's up, gentlemen? Happy Tuesday.
Hey.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped up. I'm just going to give you a little quick comparison because I was making similar calls to another station when Damon Bruce was there. When he wanted Candlestick gone, but that's another story. Dude, fans got to know they have a job. I was lucky enough to take over my family's ticket since the whole life of Candlestick back in 2010. And essentially, we were section 10-8, parallel with the goal line. And I am raising hell on third down and quiet as a church mouse on offense. And fans don't understand that. You impact the game, especially when you have invested in a D-line like they have now. This is not a regular D-line. You know, fans, Santa Clara, that's great. You know, you got your money, Jed, that's great. But I hope you understand you lost your soul from San Francisco. You know, you left your heart here. I don't know what's going to happen to that. But these Santa Clara guys got to grow a heart. They got to understand their job is not drinking champagne, you know, looking at pictures and –
All right, Danker. Danker, get ready for the draft. That's what you need to do.
Is he
get
in
ready
league?
For the draft? I think he is, yeah. And if he isn't, I'm sure he's in some fantasy football league like everybody else on planet Earth.
Our leagues.
All right, let's try it again. Larry in San Francisco. What's up, Larry?
Hey, guys. I'll tell you one thing about Levi Stadium. Once this team goes into the playoffs and makes a real push, people are going to say, oh, I love Levi. Oh, God, you know, because everybody complained about Candlestick when they were there. I used to go all the time. I remember stepping out of my car, stepping into a puddle that went all the way up to my shin. You know what I mean? But I miss Candlestick, but mostly I miss winning. If you bring a winner to Levi's, you'll see, because when Jerry Jones first built Jerry's World, everybody laughed at it. Oh, my God, what a joke. You can't even punt a – You can't even do a kickoff without hitting the screen. You remember that?
Well,
everybody's talking about what a great stadium it is.
So you think if the Niners get good, the stadium issue's going away?
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Larry. Appreciate the call. What do you think, Goo?
I totally agree with
I don't.
And
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, but, you know, if that team was 13-3 and going to the playoffs every year, I think it would be packed. It would be crunk.
Well, every year, yeah. That's a long way down the line.
I went to a season opener a couple years ago when they hosted the Carolina Panthers.
You were in the
Panthers.
Press box, though.
Carolina
you in
Panthers.
The sun.
But I sat out there.
Oh.
I walked around. I do my laps. I sit there for a second to get out the press box to get some fresh air. That place wasn't even sold out. Season opener against the Panthers. Season opener of an NFL season, and it wasn't sold out when Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey were in town.
Well, let's keep it real.
Shanahan's first game wasn't sold out.
I was just going to say, a lot of what I deem is Harbaugh hurt Bonte, right or wrong, it's real, and the team has not played well since he's left. And I just feel like there's some type of revolt going on, and they'll come back when the team gets their stuff together, and they can start this week in Tampa Bay.
I don't know. You know that old Bob Dylan line, there's too much water under the bridge and a lot of other stuff too? That's what it feels like with the 49ers.
I like that.
It feels like they need more than just a couple good years. It feels like they need to put this thing on the right track. I mean, and I also don't think it happens overnight.
No.
And let's say I'm a restaurant, and I want people to come to my restaurant. If I make a damn good hamburger, guess what? They're going to come. People are going to talk, Bonte. But if I don't and my food stinks, people are going to stay away. And right now, the Niners, that burger that doesn't taste good. You don't taste good when you're 4-12. So when the Niners start doing something here, and I'm just saying 4-1, I believe that place would be packed.
I challenge the Niner fans in week 3. To keep the terrible towels outside the stadium. Then in week 5, against the Cleveland Browns coming off a bye week, keep the dog pound out of the damn stadium. Let me see a true home field advantage. I'm tired of teams coming into Levi Stadium, sitting there before the snap, calling audibles, checking the line, checking the protections, telling their line running back where to line up. It's too much of that. It's too much. It's time to create a home field advantage at Levi's, and you got to do it before the winning starts. Just help your team out starting in week 3. Hopefully they're coming to Levi's Stadium as a 2-0 football team.
All right, one team that's not 2-0 is San Francisco Giants. You guys are talking about a funeral. I'm not ready to have a funeral, but I do want to talk about what's ahead for the San Francisco Giants. Giants. Let's head over to Anna, find out what's going on in 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks, Danny. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. The rosters are set. The NFL opens up this week, and the 49ers are prepping for Game 1 in Tampa Bay. Bonte, Sonny, and Guru are looking at favorite storylines for the Niners, the NFL this season, and will make Week 1 predictions. We're also looking to predict if Nick Bosa will play on Sunday. Bosa returned to practice. How likely is his return? The guys will ask 49ers reporter Cam Inman at noon. The Seahawks acquired Jadeveon Clowney from the Texans. How concerning is this move for the Niners? 95.7 The Game NFL insider Peter King will join Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky every Tuesday, and that starts today at 5 p.m. You can take 95.7 The Game on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. And in Giants View, the Giants have transferred Pablo Sandoval to the IL. We'll talk about that and much more. But first, whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. I'm Anna Kukadaki's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group joining us at noon today, courtesy of the Dial Pad guest line. And we're going to jump into a little baseball before we get back to Cam. And we've talked so much about the Giants over the last month or so. Got to talk about where they're at right now and where they go from right now.
Right.
And where they might go is 1,999 wins for Bruce Bochy. Nah, what's he got to go? 9-16 to get to 2,000? I think he'll do that. But let me just throw a couple numbers at you guys, and I'll just ask you to react rather than incite you, which some people think I do. On July 31st, the Giants were 55-53. They were two games back of the wild card at that point. That was a trade deadline, obviously. They're now 66-71. They're 8 back of the second wild card. They're 11-18 since the trade deadline. How are we feeling about the Giants right now?
They're dead. And I don't – Helen Keller, it don't matter. The math is there, but – they don't have the team to do it. And honestly, it's depressing to watch them night in, night out.
I need a mimosa.
I'm going to put the rat on the table.
The
My biggest
there.
Disappointment has not been the youngsters. And I know Yaz is a bit older, but he's still a youngster, relatively new to this team. It's not Dickerson. And I sound like a broken record, but it's real. It's Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, and Buster Posey. And I don't know what you can do, who has the kahunas to do it, Farhan, but if this team is going to come out next year with expectations to compete, something needs to be done with this trio, because there's no doubt this trio is what's bringing this team down. And you talk about Crawford in the field and Belt in the field. They're not doing anything spectacular to ignore how depressing they are at the plate. And it's what they do when stuff is on the line. It seems like one of the three are up at the plate, Steiny, Bonte, and they're just not getting it done. Now, Buster Posey and his 251 average and the lack of power, oh, he calls a good game. Hey, you got me. He calls a good game. But he's not going to retire, last I checked, anytime soon. It's not imminent. So something needs to be done, and I'm tired of watching them, because those three are basically getting a scholarship, which some can say, Bonte, they earned years ago, but they are the elephant in the room. Until something is done, this team is going to be dragged down with those contract and no
time.
I don't get
it.
I have.
Sorry, that was a quick trigger. Trying to wait on that rant.
Yeah, I got it out.
Look, the math isn't there, Guru. Math is gone.
Well, they're not mathematically.
They're done. They're dead.
Right.
The damn Diamondbacks have won 7-8, and they're now 4/500. And all of a sudden, they're feeling good about trading Zach Greinke, and all of a sudden, they're beating up on the Padres, putting up football scores like they did the other day, winning 14-7. Look, I told you guys, the key to the Giants after the trading deadline was going to be the little three that we call them now, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, and Buster Posey. But the starting pitching has let this team down to where you can't even get to the bullpen to give them chances to save games.
Gave up three runs in total yesterday.
I don't
Bonte.
Give a damn. Tyler Beattie gave up two right away in the first inning. Game was
okay.
over. Game was over. All right. Game was over. Tyler Beattie is stunk.
If the game's over because you're down two runs, come on.
Tyler Beattie is stunk. Derek Arriaga's is stunk. The starting pitching outside of Bumgarner and Justin Marja has absolutely stunk. That's why this team is faded. And the fool's gold that all the Kool-Aid that we drunk, look, the Giants were who we thought they were. They won a lot of close games because they got to those close games. The pitching gave them a chance to win those close games. The starting pitching, that is. They went deep into games. They stopped giving you five. Beattie can't give you more than four innings now, Guru. He can't. Derek Rodriguez can't. I don't even know who the fifth starter is anymore. The starting pitching let them down. And then I did think Buster Posey had a hot streak in him. I really did. I saw a couple ABs, Steiny. I said, man, this guy may be close to turning a corner. Yeah, it was a joke. It's been absolutely depressing watching Buster Posey batting a 3-4 hole. And for some reason, I don't know if somebody's spooked or if he has some emails on somebody to blackmail. I don't know what it is. But the guy should be batting 7th or 8th like Crawford is right now. And they have faded. It is sad to see how they faded, too.
I'm just wondering, because I don't know how they get better fairly quickly. I mean, I'm looking at the lineup. You got Posey 32, Belt 31, Crawford 32, Longoria 33.
And if you look at their bodies, Pilar, they're 30. Older than that. They're older
Sandoval's
than that.
Sandoval's probably gone. Even if you can move, you're not moving Posey, but even if you can move Belt and Crawford, what kind of prospects are you going to get for those guys?
Not big time prospects.
Well, so then how do you somebody
get,
like
so
Dubon.
How do you get better?
Next year is going to be another year where you hope the Giants can just stay afloat, stay relevant by not blowing up the farm system and lowering this payroll. That's the biggest thing right now, is lowering this payroll, is shedding some of these contracts off the books like they did with Mark Melanson. That was a start.
Yeah, but these big. These are more difficult now. Yeah,
you have to do it. $17.2 million owed to freaking Brandon Belt. What's Crawford making next year? Is it 17 as well?
He has a no-trade clause.
So how do you talk him out of
that?
I know. Steiny, you said that you do believe that the Giants will get Bochy these eight wins. Well, I see three more games against the Cardinals, three against the Dodgers. I see four at home against the Pirates who can hit the ball. The Marlins for three. And then they go to Boston, Atlanta. I don't know where you're going to get a victory there.
You're saying you think it's not a given?
I don't think eight wins is a given with this football baseball team.
Huh?
I really don't think eight wins is a given. I really don't.
Steiny, they just look lifeless, man.
But I thought they were going to make a run.
And I did, too. And a lot. And
they
Bonte
didn't.
Said
we were
it.
Wrong.
And,
we were no, wrong, Steiny.
Not the
we
first
wrong.
Time. But we again, wrong. I love hard. I thought the little three were going to at least give me 2 to 3
something.
Weeks of.
But why would you think that, Guru?
It's baseball.
Posey's on the downside. Yeah. They're all on the downside of their career.
But I thought.
So now you're going to come back next year and hope that, you know what?
Why?
Maybe Posey's got a 280 year in him with 15 homers.
I'm done with that.
Okay, but he's going to play.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to be the lineup
and
140 times.
And you're going to ask me, hey, Guru, what do you think about the 2020 Giants? And I'm going to tell you the real. I don't think nothing of them.
But they're the same team, essentially, as the one you thought was going to get hot.
Yeah, and like divorces, I'm finished.
I'm done.
I was waiting for you. I
don't know if the A's are going to make the postseason after what I saw this weekend in Yankee Stadium.
But you know what I would say to that? At least we can focus and hone in on the bullpen issues with the A's, and they're a million games over 500, and I don't want to have a loser mentality, fellas, but it would be no shame if you didn't make that second wild card, because Tampa's playing damn good baseball, and so are you. This Giants situation, it's like the Brady Bunch vase that the kids broke, and you tried to glue it back, and there were holes everywhere. That's what the Giants are. Yeah, I'm mad at the hitting. You're mad at the
pitching. I don't understand. Like, this is kind of what I was talking about. 5 weeks ago.
They tricked
me. What do you mean they tricked you?
How dumb can you be? No, Steiny, stop.
At the time, who am I? Yeah, I mean, stick to basketball, Steinmetz. Why was I saying this team's not very good?
Well, that's all you were saying.
They're not. And they haven't
been.
You didn't
tell us why they weren't good.
Well,
Tell them they weren't good.
It's been 2.5 years.
Sports radio show.
Yeah, but he kept saying
because they have no talent. They don't have talent comparable to other NBA teams. I said it 6 weeks ago.
I'm going to be quiet.
It was infuriating to me.
But you guys went 30. They were hot.
Who cares?
We didn't know when the oven was going to turn off, Steiny, and I thought the little three could get – they were hot.
I mean,
despite the little three,
well, we talked about the schedule and how difficult the schedule was going to be. We're going to find out if this baseball team was real in August. Well, we found out the dog days bit them in the ass, and they weren't real. They were chumps. They weren't contenders. And so we moved like there's nothing else to say. The starting pitching failed them outside of Bumgarner, Samardzija. The bats failed them. Situational hitting was awful. I can't say enough about Farhan, though. I can't blame
Farhan. What are you talking about?
I can't blame Farhan for this mess. He walked into this mess because Bobby Evans and Sabian created this mess. It's like Lynch and Shanahan walking into that situation with San Francisco and the players that he's brought in. Pilar, Yaz,
Dickerson,
Vogt, but they've balled out.
Great.
They've balled out. They've produced.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
If they balled out, they stink.
No, what it means is.
250 balling out, they stink.
If they didn't ball out, they would have never been in this position in the first place.
They shouldn't have been in the position, and nobody should have bought it.
They were.
What position were they in? What position
they were in?
They were in a position
to win a wild card spot.
Please.
They were 2.5 out of the deadline.
Let me ask you this,
to people who are delusional.
They're 2.5 out.
That's why. Let me ask both of you this. We talk about the 6-year contracts.
You got snookered over 6 weeks. 6 weeks of good baseball over the last 3 years, and you guys changed your whole strategy.
They didn't change the whole
strategy.
Yes,
they did. We heard Richie Aurelia.
They didn't change the strategy.
Oh, the hell they didn't.
They traded Mark Melanson and got some prospects.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying.
They got some prospects.
His opinion doesn't
they
mean
dipped
I'm not saying
They dipped their toe
that.
In the water, and they got snookered.
Now, they may have their second baseman, Dubon. He looks like he has some promise. And I'm going to say
this. Because he's got three hits?
It's not about
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that crap
when
anymore.
When do you start assessing how Farhan's done on his job?
Right
Vontae
now.
Said,
right
he's,
now.
He's,
listen,
he's,
the players he brought in.
He made a mistake.
How?
He said this team could absolutely compete the rest of the way.
They could. And they
no,
didn't.
They didn't.
Well, they didn't.
They're eight back.
Well, they didn't. So what did he do wrong?
So he was wrong in his assessment.
What would they look like?
What his assessment of the team was wrong.
He's 2 feet away from you.
His assessment of the team was wrong.
So what should he have done then? Outside
he
of trading
sold Melanson, more.
Oh, he should have sold Bumgarner for a pack of Skittles?
Whatever.
You're cool with that.
Whatever.
Let's trade a World Series MVP,
because
a guy who has dominated the postseason,
Vaughn.
For a damn Gatorade bucket.
Okay.
That's
hey,
what you're telling
you're
me
right.
now.
St. Farhan is really on top of
let's
it.
Trade. Let's trade Bumgarner.
You can't give me one thing he did
prospect.
Right. You can't think of one thing he did right.
I can name four things that he
oh,
did
give
right. Traded for Pilar. Traded for
Scott
Dickerson in here. Got Yaz in here. He got Stephen Vogt in here. What else did he do? He got Mauricio Dubond, who looks like he could play at this level. Jalen Davis right now at Triple-A. That's five moves right there, Steiny. That's five. What else did he do? He tried with Scooter Gennett. He kicked the tires on that because second baseman sucked. Joe Panic was awful. So he tried to do that.
Who's playing well in New York, by the way?
I brought that up last year.
Vontae, you said the team, the day after the trading deadline, was better.
They were better. They are better.
They're 11
they
and 18.
They ran into some big boys.
Okay,
they
right.
ran into some big boys.
Right.
They got exposed.
If you're telling
pitching.
Me 11 and 18 is
believe,
better than two games over,
I do believe
again,
the franchise
this,
is
we'll
in a better
about
situation.
Something else.
I do believe the
right.
franchise is in a better situation
see,
now after the
and,
deadline.
And Vontae, I disagree because the real rat on the table for Farhan and the Giants is I don't care about Dubond. Even though I'm excited, Yaz. That doesn't supersede the little three that aren't going anywhere. They're dragging this team down.
Okay, so how's that on Farhan?
No, I'm not. What does he do? Who can fix it? Can God fix it? I don't think he can. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's so depressing when we talk about next year's Giants, because no matter what you give me and how excited I am about some of the pieces they got back, Posey, Crawford, and Belt are going to be in Giant uniforms unless he comes up with some Irvin magic. You know,
didn't he do that with Mark Melanson? Nobody thought he could get $18 million off the books.
People don't talk about
what
that.
Did he do?
That was great. But this is different. This is real, man. These three are this is depressing.
We laugh at that like a joke. This payroll, they're up against the CBT.
That was great.
And he's shedding payroll by doing a move like that.
But now can you shed the real payroll is what I guess I'm saying.
He hasn't even been on the job for a year yet. Let's see.
Why was Farhan brought in here?
To clean up Sabian's and Evans' mess. And it's going to take more than a season to do that.
Okay.
It's going to take more than a season.
They were going to use analytics and the computer and all that.
They are using that analytics.
I'm not saying
they're not. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that's why he was brought in. It was different style. That's what I'm saying.
You have such blinders when it comes to this. It's unbelievable. It's not. It's a fact. It's like you can't see that maybe it didn't work out like he wanted. Like, you can't even acknowledge
it's
that.
It's obvious that it didn't work out. They're eight games behind the wild card spot. I said that. It's obvious it didn't work out. But damn it, I'm not going to criticize Farhan for trying when a team is 2.5 out of a wild card spot. How do you go walk into a clubhouse and Bruce Bochy's last year managing the San Francisco Giants say, you know what, we're about to blow this thing up and we're going to get low-level prospects for a guy like Madison Bumgarner. Obviously, the market
well,
is not
low
there.
Level.
Yeah, but Steiny, I got Vontae's back on this. I got, because this is real. We don't know what it would have looked like when you say sell. They had lemons. Belts a lemon.
So what's going to change?
That is the million-dollar question. And
nothing.
If I
tell you what changes.
That,
what can change?
I tell you what changes.
It can get worse.
No,
it's
I tell you
get
what
worse
changes.
Before it gets better.
Teams are probably seeing Belt and Crawford's contract saying, okay, that's one more. They got one less year on this contract.
Well,
okay, maybe we can eat.
They've got two less
years,
months on the contract.
But you go into the offseason and you're closer to free agency. That's all I'm saying, Steiny. That's all I'm saying. And let's put the rat on the table. I said this last year on this station, and people laughed at me. I said Bumgarner should have been traded last July when you had more value and he had another year left on the deal. But guess what? Bobby Evans and Sabian weren't capable of doing that, so they didn't trade him. Now, all of a sudden, you want to put it on Farhan's table to say, oh, go trade the big horse. Take the bullet for us and be the scapegoat. You don't just trade Bumgarner
for nothing.
Here's
the way I look at it. And I know we all know the way you look at it. Here's the way
all
I
right,
look at it.
I guess I'm a homer now when
you
it comes
are.
To the Giants. All right.
You are.
I'm just being
I mean, you can't even acknowledge
you can't
that he may not have, Dude, I've given you so many facts.
What facts?
Listen, here's what happened, okay? The Giants have stunk for 2.5 years. Yes or no?
They have.
They got hot for 6 weeks, and the Giants traded their entire strategy for going for
it. How do you know that, though?
Because
Farhan said our strategy was never to sell. People out in the media pumped that out there. We all assumed that he was going to sell.
Okay.
How do we know if that was really Farhan's plan?
Like, there's no deal, Stoney, that the Giants passed up
on. How do you know that?
And I'm asking you,
why is Will Smith on the Giants right now?
How do you not know that is the question.
Why is Will Smith on the Giants? They couldn't get anything for him? Or they decided to go for it? Which is it?
Well, if I'm a
which is it?
I don't think I think the Giants wanted to hang on to him.
Why?
They thought they had a shot. Yeah. They were 2.5 back in the wild card. And unless you're in this culture with the Giants, unless you know about the Giants,
Will Smith gonna bring you
when has the Giants ever sold when they were in it under this regime? They don't sell. So they figured they weren't in it.
That's the problem.
They were 2.5 out, Steiny. How can you say they weren't?
If I were a Giants fan, I would absolutely be concerned that Farhan Zaidi thought this team was good enough to get to the wild card. Because the minute he said that, they go 11-18. It's like, that to me is a problem. He misassessed the team and where they were going. If they were 18-11 at this point, I'd get it.
I just present me with some evidence that the Giants could have got a big-time haul from
Bassett. I didn't say big-time haul. They should have started the process. They did not start the process.
And we don't know what teams were pitching. It would have leaked out if they would have been like.
But we don't know
if Larry Bear said, "Hey, we're not selling. Yeah. We're
you
going for
do
it.
This, but you got to do this."
Right? He just okay. I'm done.
The bottom line, Stoney, they're in bad shape, man.
Not according to Bonte.
I don't think they're in bad shape. We already know this is a big time rebuilding project. We know that.
Well,
we know
next year was going
to. Well, then why did you think you were going to the playoffs this year?
Why not try to go to the playoffs? You're 2.5 out at the wild card spot.
Playoffs?
You're 2.5 out.
You can't say on the one hand, this is a huge rebuild, and then say we can make the playoffs.
They're 11-18 with Madison Bumgarner. And I thought, 11 what they would have been without Madison Bumgarner.
And back to the little three. I thought 2.5 out without the big three doing their thing. I thought, oh, my God, you got championship pedigree. If these three, two of the three can get hot, they could carry the baton to the last month, the last week of September, and it did not happen. It is 11-18. Hey, I don't know. It got ugly and it got ugly
fast. But let's strip the guy in the suite instead of the players on the field and the managers on the field. Farhan can't hit for Posey or Crawford or Belt. He can't pitch for Tyler Beede and Derek Rodriguez. He can't pitch for this bullpen that is falling apart. Reyes Moranta is hurt now. Gott's been getting hit. I don't even know who half these guys are anymore. That's not Farhan's fault. Players got to play and show up. Players got to play and produce.
The talent on this team's terrible.
Yeah. Steiny, I thought they had stay in
talent's
power.
Not good.
When they got hot, Steiny, obviously.
But they have a track record. You have to give this team the benefit of the doubt because of what they did in previous years.
Why do you have to give them the benefit of the doubt?
Because of the track record.
What track record?
The track record of producing World Series championships.
Oh, my God. That was 5 years ago. Seriously.
They made the playoffs in 2016, right?
I mean, yeah, but they had this worst second half of the season.
I
got to be honest with you. You're giving Farhan Zaidi the benefit of the doubt because something happened 5 years ago?
I'm giving Farhan the benefit. Absolutely. He's been on the job less than a year. Let him see what the guy's got. Okay, they're in contention. He drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm not mad at him for that. I'm not mad at him. It impacts nothing in the future, though.
What they did this year, you cannot say that.
Why can't I?
Because you don't know what the deals he might have had.
And we got Cueto coming back,
You do not know the deals he may have had.
They do got Cueto coming back.
That's great. That's great. That's great. I'll buy you guys a water.
But Steiny, you're presenting this as if the Giants impacted their future by not dealing at the deadline.
I don't think it has. I personally don't think it does. You said it did.
Nope.
Yes, you did.
You said it did.
It didn't impact.
I don't think it impacted the future at all.
I'm saying it did.
Okay.
But apparently you know more. Because they didn't get the deals.
I didn't say that. nor did I call me a homer because I can't see it from the other side. All I'm saying is I don't think it impacted the future.
You are a homer when it comes to the Giants.
All right, I'm a homer now.
I mean, it's
why not even talk Giants with me anymore then?
I don't want to stop.
There was no
magic wand. Let's
just stop. It was going to make the little three hit.
I'm a homer, man.
Whatever deal they didn't do or do, Steiny, Posey wasn't going to hit, Crawford wasn't going to hit, and Belt wasn't going to hit. And at the end of the day, I'm not putting why they didn't finish on Farhan. I'm putting it on the big three that have turned into the little three. And, Bonte, I love you for giving them the benefit of the doubt next year. We got Cueto coming back. If they get a free agent pitcher, my point is I really believe these three in this ballpark are done.
I said trade Belt and Crawford in the offseason. I don't think what happened this past trading deadline – will have any impact on the future.
I'm backing you up because I don't think there was that deal, Steiny. I don't think there was that Farrah Fawcett deal that he was like.
But it's coming this summer? I mean, it's coming this offseason?
That's the depressing part. They're playing themselves into not having to ask any team to take their services on. That's what I'm saying. They're becoming – Brandon Crawford is becoming more unattractive by the day, but he controls his own destiny. He may be like, I'm a lifer here. And that ain't on Farhan. That his deal was done before it. And Belt, I don't know. And I will say this for Belt. If the fence has come in, let's see it play out. Or are there teams out there that know, man, if we had this dude in Texas or one of these band boxes, he would have at least 10 to 12 more home runs. But Posey, there is nothing there. And I love the guy. Man, cement feet.
Coming up on the other side, we got Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group. He'll be brought to you by Dialpad Guestline and by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Bonte Hill, Matt Stein, it's Darryl the Guru Johnson. Taking you up until 2 o'clock as we get ready for the NFL season. Bears and Packers kick off Thursday night, Goo. Then we get the Niners on Sunday against Tampa Bay and the Raiders on Monday Night Football. We're going to talk to Cam Inman in just a second from the Bay Area News Group. Niners, Tampa, week one in Tampa Bay, 1:25 kickoff, Goo. I'm excited, buddy.
Yeah, and, you know I do it. You've done it. We play the schedule game, and that's the fun part about a new season upon you. But you tell me if I'm off basis by saying the Niners, to me, are looking themselves in the mirror in regard to playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you're better than the Bucs, the world's watching, we're all watching, Bonte, you go out and handle them. You go out and beat them. And I do like the fact that Bosa – it looks like, right. Well, I asked Cam, because remember Cam checked me a couple weeks ago, like, Guru, we don't know if he's not going to be playing. But the fact he's up and about at practice, I'm excited. But, and I don't want to be negative, Nancy, and you tell me if I am, but I mean this in my core. Outside of Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks, or if not the best quarterback to ever do it, give me a quarterback that made his niche in this league not throwing to a Jerry Rice,
right,
a Terrell Owens, or a up-and-coming stud that's done it. Debo Samuels, I love everything on film, but he has no skins on in the game at the pro level. And now you talk about Goodwin. We talk about Pettis, who, again, I don't know if he's getting the proper treatment in regard to encouragement. I'm not saying diapers, Bonte, but I feel like the media – they're beating this guy up for not making the Hall of Fame in preseason. But just a month ago, we were told, or tell me if I paraphrase in Lynch, we didn't go do the Odell Beckham Jr. Antonio Brown move
because of Pettis.
Because we felt like Pettis. And, hey, I was like, whoa, that's heavy. But I don't know how that's adversely affecting him, if it is. My point is, Jimmy Garoppolo is your bread and butter on offense. And I feel like right now, and I think I'm entitled to this opinion, I'm going to shut up. People are entitled to say the Niners didn't do enough. It's a wideout position for them to make the Peter King jump.
I'm with you, Goo. And I want to – there was a time where I wanted Antonio Brown so much more. I threw out the idea of trading away the number two overall draft pick.
I appreciate you admitting that.
I admit that. I admit that. Because the text line will definitely, and I love the text line, and I love our callers, they will definitely remind me that every single day because I thought the Niners needed that top flight guy at the wideout position. But they're young at that position. Marquise Goodwin, we'll see what he brings to the table if he could play 16 games. And I know Cam Emmon will enlighten us on what this 49ers roster looked like. Cam Emmon, longtime 49ers beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, joins us every week here on 95.7 The Game. Bonte Hill, Matt Steinmetz, Daryl DeGuru Johnson, courtesy of the Dow Pack guest line. Cam, man, football's finally back, baby. Are you getting excited?
Welcome to opening week. Yeah, that's the best I can do. I don't have a theme song or anything like that with Carrie Underwood, but yeah. Week one, let's get to it. I hate the 8 months leading up to this because there's so much speculation and we overanalyze, we dig into people's words and quotes and salaries way too much. I'm all about the games, and I am so excited to finally be able to write about and report on actual games.
Right, no doubt about it. And no more 53-man roster guesses, right? Who's going to get cut, who's going to make the roster. But we do know the final 53-man roster, and the Niners keep seven receivers. We probably won't see Jalen Hurd and for sure Trent Taylor in week one of the regular season. But it's going to be all about Jimmy Garoppolo in week one against Tampa. And we'll talk about the defense in just a second, Cam. But I think the best formula for the 49ers to win a football game down in Tampa Bay this Sunday is to run the football and make it a balanced attack and not put too much on the shoulders of number 10.
Yeah, you would think so, and you would think that's probably the predictable way to go, but they need to do whatever they can to win. So wherever the Bucs are soft on their defense, and then they have to exploit it, and that's Kyle Shanahan. He will find the mismatches and attack you with it. So if you want to go running game, I mean, you're looking at Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman as your 1-2 punch, and in what order do they come in? And I was in the locker room yesterday, and I was talking to Matt, and I'm trying to, like, sleuth out as much as I can, you know, to see if he'll tell me, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so or either Tevin or him is going to be the workhorse back. And, you know, it's – we don't know. I mean, I would imagine they're going to split carries. But if one guy gets hot, he's going to be the one that's going to stay in the game. And as much as we think Tevin Coleman might be the better receiver than Matt Breida, Matt's done a lot the last couple of years – to become a better receiver, and I think Coleman's the bigger body back. So I kind of like go back to last year's season opener in Minnesota. You know, they're a week removed from losing Jerick McKinnon, and next thing you know, Matt Breida's doing okay, but then Alfred Morris is the bigger back, fumbles on the goal line. So that's Tevin Coleman better not try to do that too, because the Niners can't afford turnovers. They do need a good running game, like you said. I think Jimmy's not afraid to throw it around, and you know, he's got George Kittle and a lot of different wide receivers are going to want to make their name. So, yeah, don't think that they won't throw the ball around.
Cam, I got to give you credit because I was telling the fellas, you know what, a couple weeks ago, might have been 3 weeks ago, I was telling you or I assumed that Bosa, who I can't wait to see play and try to cause havoc in the red and gold on opposing quarterbacks, was not going to play.